Good morning. It's good to be with you. I'm looking forward to continuing our walk. If you remember back when I preached, some of you were here the first Sunday in January, and we preached on what is our walk with Jesus. We're going to continue on our walk with Jesus. Pastor Andy and I were talking a little while back, and I says, how about when I preach every time for a year? So our new year starts September 1, Andy and I figured. So what we're going to do is I'll be preaching on the same theme whenever I preach. If I preach once or twice, it'll be that. If I preach three or four, it'll still be the same theme. So it helps us to bring back to see, hey, where are we at in dealing with that stuff? I don't know about you, but I can only deal with about three or four things a year to really see God transform in my life. Is that the way you are? And so that's what we're going to try. So we'll see how that works, okay? Some of you don't know me. I'm the director of church planning, church multiplication, whatever, for the EFC, the Evangelical Free Church in Minnesota. It's called North Central District. And we've been a part of the church plant here now for probably three or four years. And so it's been fun to be back in a church plant and see what God's doing and seeing how God's going to lead us as we plant out. So before we take time to look to God's Word, let's pray together. Father, we just humble our hearts before you today. We know, Lord, that if you don't speak to us, it's just man's words. And Father God, we want this to be more than just something that we produce or something we do. We ask today very specifically, Lord, that your Holy Spirit, we invite your Holy Spirit to come and guide us in this time. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to speak to our hearts, to encourage us, to challenge us. We pray that as we just slow down today, we've sang some wonderful worship songs, as we slow down, Lord, that we can relax back into your arms and let you minister to us and encourage us. Father, we pray that you would work in each one of our lives so that we might be more Christ-like, that we would be changed by the time we share together here today and also as we continue to grow in our walk with you. Lead us, Lord, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of you may know, but when I ask a question, it's not a rhetorical question. I'll tell you if it's a rhetorical question. So when I start out with a question, I would like your interaction. One thing you have to realize, though, I'm getting older, so I don't hear as well as I used to. My wife will verify that. And she'll say, listening? And I think she wonders if I should get something. I may have to, but... So today what we want to look at is what is our walk, how's your walk with God today? What's that look like? We realize that the scriptures talk about God has saved us so that we can be in close relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And so if you remember back earlier, we talked about different ways we relate to God. But today, how is your walk with God? Here's a question. What are some terms that you would use about your walk with God? I'll give you one. And I'll give you, you'll say, well, Dan, that's not a very strong, good one. Dutiful. You know, you're doing stuff out of duty. You're walking with God because you know you have to. You think if you don't, he won't bless you. What are some terms maybe you could come up with about your walk, a walk with God? Repetitive. Wow, good one. More what?
More of a stumble.
More of a stumble. Okay.
Reactive.
Anybody else?
Irregular.
That's what I put down on my list, hit or miss.
Life-giving.
Good. There's so many different things when we think of our relationship with God. But today, as we take time, we're going to end up in Psalms 103, but it's going to take us a little time to get there because I want to give us a little background to get us there as we look at this, our walk, how we are walking with God. Scripture makes it very clear that God created us to glorify Him and to enjoy Him forever. Jesus came to earth what? To live and die and to be raised from the dead so that we might be restored to a relationship, a right relationship with God. In other words, a close relationship with God. Jesus says in John 15, abide in me and I in you. What's that abiding look like? And I'm sure we know a lot of those scriptures. I'm going to move this so I don't slap it. We know a lot of these scriptures, but what's it look like to abide with Jesus? What's it look like to be in a close relationship always? I don't know about you, but someone hit or miss. Oh, it's easy to be in a close relationship on Sunday morning from 7 till noon. What about Wednesday from noon till 8? You know, that the middle of the week and everything's starting to drag. What's your relationship with God like there? If we're supposed to be abiding, if we're abiding or dwelling in Jesus, that means he's a part of everything we do. But how do we get there? If I understand what he's calling us to, then our relationship should be a very meaningful relationship. It should be a relationship where we're growing in our love for God and for Jesus. It should be an enjoyable relationship where we're looking forward to it. I was raised on a dairy farm back in Pennsylvania. And the biggest joy in my life until I got to probably 12, 13 was being with Dad. No one ever had to get me up in those mornings before I went to school. You know, 5, 6, 7, 8. I was up. Wherever Dad was, that's where I was. He'd go out to get the cows. I'd go out in my bare feet to get the cows with him. And you'd run from where the cow laid down so you'd warm up your feet to go to the next one so you'd warm up your feet to come back. But it was just wherever Dad was, it was just enjoyable. It's something I wanted to do. I can remember we weren't allowed to go out in our bare feet until the corn was planted. And so the first day the corn was planted, as soon as Dad was out planting corn, you'd run to the field. You just wanted to be with Dad. Is that what your relationship with Jesus is like? I'm sad to say that mine's not always that way. There's many mornings I don't get up to go spend time with Jesus. Whoa, what gives? Any of you relate? And how do we deal with that? Because God has created us so that we could enjoy him and so we could give glory. And then the other part of our relationship should be that it's God's love that is gripping us to do what we do. Paul says in Corinthians, what? I am compelled by Christ's love. So if we're in that right relationship and walking close with Jesus, then what's happening? His love's gripping us. His love's overflowing out of us. His love's compelling us. Boy, that takes away duty, doesn't it? And that makes life something more. So how is it our relationship with God becomes casual? It becomes duty. It becomes repetitive. It becomes hit or miss. It becomes hot or cold. Instead of enjoyable, instead of life-giving, instead of what he wants us to have. I know in my life, it may be true in your life, that there's something has crept in. There is something, little creep, that has come in to cause our relationship to God to be less than what he intended. And I would suggest that what we probably happened in our life is we've allowed a good thing to become a God thing. What's another name for that? An idol. What we've allowed is we've allowed an idol to come in. Or as Tim Keller would say, a counterfeit God. We've allowed another God to creep in. And usually the idols come in as good things. Usually we're at the place in our world where we know we've walked with Jesus long enough that we've dealt with the big things out there where everybody can see. But it's something that kind of creeps in. And it's a good thing that becomes a God thing. And if that happens, that is what really puts the kiboshes on our walk with God. Because we've replaced our Heavenly Father with something he has created. I'll give you a good thing. Is a relationship with Jesus a good thing? I sat one day with a pastor whose church was just falling apart. And after we talked for a little while, him and another guy and myself, one of us said to this young man, "Have you made the idea of having a relationship with God your idol over Jesus?" And you couldn't have hit him any harder. Literally sat back in his seat and just started crying, weeping. He says, "How did that happen, Dan? How did that happen where you know how much I love Jesus, but here what I've done is I've pushed relationship so much that I missed Jesus." That's how easy and simple it is. What are some other idols that we may have creeping into our lives? That's a question, and not rhetorical. Jobs. And a lot of jobs are gifts. Most of our jobs are gifts from God. God has given us our job so that we might have another place of work and ministry. So it's a gift from God. What else? Acceptance. Wow, that's getting personal. Because, I mean, you know, all of us want that. We want that feel good, right? What else? Service. Yes? How about, I'll throw you another good one. How about, can the Bible become your idol? Can good preaching become an idol? Can family become an idol? Something we all liked this last week, except you guys who are out in the Boundary Waters. Thank the good Lord, they didn't get to go out to the Boundary Waters until Thursday. They stayed in the cabins during the storm, from what I hear here. But they went out, and they had a good trip. But one thing we all liked this last weekend was what? Comfort. How many of you had your air conditioning on? I mean, we all enjoyed that, and that's comfort. Is comfort a good thing? Can comfort become a God thing? I think one thing, if we're going to look honestly at our walk with God and how it is and what may take the life-giving out of it, the joy out of it, the abundance out of it, the glory out of it, it's an idol. And the thing is, we have to put our finger on our own idol in our life. And so that brings us to the place that, what are we going to do about it? What's the solution? Well, most of you would say, well, if I have an idol, I just need to confess it, right? And repent. That's a good start. Confess it means that I identify it. Repent means to say, this is an idol I have. I want to turn from it. I want to turn to God. But I want to go one step further because I think a lot of us get caught up in that. We have a confess, ask forgiveness, and we go on, and then we're back at it again. Confess, ask forgiveness, and we end up coming again. We try to root it out, but we can't. And I think this is where, in reading a book by Tim Keller, he brings up a point that if we're going to truly have our hearts transformed, we have to realize a couple things. Number one, our heart is an idol factory. We are always looking for something to worship. And if we're not worshiping God all the time, then we're going to have something creep in. But also he says that you can repent of your sin, but if you don't rejoice in what God has done through Jesus Christ, then your life will not be changed, because the rejoicing is what brings back the worship. And that's where we come to this passage we're looking at today. Tim made this statement, and this statement just set me back. Jesus must become more beautiful to your imagination and more attractive to your heart than any idol. Let me say it again. Jesus must become more beautiful to your imagination and more attractive to your heart than any idol. How does that work, folks? I'm not one of those people who sit around and contemplate things. You can't imagine that. I'm boom, 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 boom. And for me to sit still for 3 hours, wow. I mean, that's... But the thing is, how do we allow Jesus to become more beautiful to our imagination and more attracted to our heart than anything else? I think that's the key. But how are we going to do it? Number one, I think we have to go with self-talk. Good godly self-talk. And the self-talk brings us right to Psalms 103. So if you have your Bibles, you want to turn to 103. I think if we look at 103, we're going to see a couple things that God will really help us to understand so that as we preach the gospel to ourselves, we can be people who have a lifestyle of worship and consistently worship God in everything we do. Let's read Psalms 103, 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems you from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. That's rejoicing in God, isn't it? Do you see it? Another term we can use in verse 1 there would be, praise the Lord, O my soul. And really, what he's bringing out, that one of the first things that we have to do if we're going to worship God is praise him for who he is, not for what he's done. If you want to have your imagination attracted more to God, you have to start praising and acknowledging what God, who God is, who Jesus is. I remember when I was in our younger years at some other churches, I used to take and put all the attributes of God on the podium. So when I'd pray, I could praise God for one or two different attributes all the time. And I got busy, and I got older, and I felt I was smarter. And so what I'm not doing now? Hey, ladies, you love it when your man comes up to you and says, I love you, honey. And then he gives you a reason why he loves you, don't you? That makes you, you know, it's one thing to just say, hey, I love you. But it's another thing to say, I love you because this is who you are. What happens when we start talking that way about our wives? All of a sudden, we're seeing the positive things and not the negative things. And some of those negative things that, once you start focusing on those negative things, what happens? You guys got the same problem I do? It can get pretty ugly really quick, can it? And then I notice everything. But once I start looking at my wife for the gift that she is and who God has made her and the beauty of her, see, then I start to, in my imagination, you even start thinking of more beautiful things. And see, the same is true with God. As we praise him for who he is, and how does he say to do that in this passage? How are we to praise him? Question. With all our being, with everything that's in me. That means that I'm to praise him with all I can say and all I have in my mind, but it also says with my emotions, it says with my being, my working. Guys and gals, our work is our praise also. And so we're praising him, and as we start to focus on praise in that way, then it becomes a lifestyle of praise, and we're starting to worship God more and more and more. But he doesn't stop there, does he? He also says in that passage, in the second verse, forget not his benefits. And you know, if you read this passage here again, read that with me and see if this is not the gospel in the Old Testament. Who forgives all your iniquities, heals all your diseases, who redeems you from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good things so your youth is renewed like the eagles. Is that not looking forward to the gospel? If you can't preach that one, you better not be preaching. Because what it is, it starts with what? Who forgives all of our iniquities? Have you pondered that lately, folks? How much has Jesus forgiven you? Everything. Is there any sin, the ugliest sin that you've ever had in your life, God has forgiven you for? I remember sitting with a guy one day who was ready to take his life. And as he was there, I said, "Why? Why?" He says, "Well, Dan, I encouraged my girlfriend to have an abortion." He says, "I don't deserve to live. I do not deserve to live." And I came back and I started sharing the gospel. And I called him by name and I says, "Do you believe this?" He says, "Yes, I've asked for forgiveness hundreds of times." And I says, "Can I affirm that in you? If you've asked for forgiveness, God has forgiven you." You know what happened? He just went, whew. He needed to hear that he's forgiven. Folks, if you have sinned and you've confessed your sin and you repented of your sin, you are forgiven in Jesus Christ. I don't care what it is. And that's what he's saying here. And that's why we can praise him, because he's forgiven us of all of our sins. So we praise him because he has forgiven us, but we also praise God because he's a loving God who does forgive us. Secondly, it goes on and says, he heals you of your diseases. The term for disease here, for sickness and disease in this passage, may not just apply to disease only. They believe it also would include your adversities and your setbacks. I kind of like that. So he not only heals you of your sicknesses, but he heals you of the adversities that you've run into, the setbacks, the jobs taken away, whatever comes your way. God is all supernaturally powerful to take care of that and intervene. And that's our God. That's the God we need to worship. Thirdly, it says what? Who redeems you from the pit. If this isn't looking forward to Christ, I don't know what is. Christ, God here, it says, redeems us. But as he redeemed us, how did he do that? He did that through Jesus Christ. He sent Christ, who was with God. And he says in Philippians 2, he did not believe equality with God was something to grasp. But he gave up and he came down to earth. And he lived perfectly. He died. Why? So that he could redeem you and me from the slave market of sin. So what he did is he not only, the scripture said, he did not buy us with silver or gold, but he redeemed us by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He redeemed us from slavery to the family of God. You are no longer a sinner. You are a saint saved by grace who sometimes sins. Is that right? It's a big mind change. And we can praise him because through the work of Jesus Christ, we've been not only has the penalty for our sin been taken care of, but the power has been broken. We don't have to sin, folks. Because in Christ, we're set free from sin. And when he redeemed us, he bought us from the pit of sin and all that ugliness to what are we now? Joint heirs with Christ. Brothers and sisters with Christ. We have the right to go and say, "Abba, Father." And this, as you start to focus on this, how would this affect your imagination if that doesn't change it? That's going to change it because now I'm no longer nothing. I'm God's special child whom he loves. And when we understand his love, then the acceptance by other people is not as much needed. And that's something I keep working on because I'm one of those people that likes to please people. But we start to see. So we praise God. Why? Because he's forgiven us. He heals us. He redeemed us. And as he redeemed us, what does it say? He crowns us with steadfast love and mercy. So he's taken us from the pit to now we have steadfast love and mercy. You know, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ today, you cannot honestly say, "I am never loved." Is that right? You can only say, "I am truly loved." I love the word steadfast. It's something that doesn't waver. It's there forever. Take the Psalms. Take the latter part of the Psalms, and it starts in about 90 on. And just a whole lot of those Psalms speak about the steadfast love of God, the steadfast love of God, the steadfast love of God. God's love is there. And folks, there's times we don't feel it, but it's like an old pastor said, Dan, guess who moved? It wasn't God. Many times it's me letting that stuff creep in, right? The idols. And so, again, as we look at dealing with that, we have that steadfast love. But he said not only love, but he said mercy. That means that God did not give us what we deserve, but he gave us his love. We truly come as you are. He knows us fully, yet he loves us unconditionally, folks. That should give us something to praise him for. And then, fifthly, he satisfies us with good things. I kind of like that way he put that. At first it says, well, he didn't meet all of our needs. It doesn't say he meets all of our needs, does it? It doesn't say anything about meeting all our wants, does it? He satisfies us with good things. As his children, he takes care of us as best we need to be taken care of. Sometimes that's being stretched. Other times it's being held. Sometimes it's being just a supernatural miracle goes boom and changes everything you're in. And other times he takes you and he says he'll walk us through the waters and we won't, and he says fires, we won't be burnt. But he takes us through it. But it's God meeting you where you're at with every good thing that you need so that you can be satisfied. He's a God of comfort. He's the Holy Spirit living within us. He answers our prayer. He gives us that divine intervention and protection. And why does he do that? Verse 5, so that you can be renewed. See, that's what it is to walk with God. Our lives, as someone said here earlier, it's life-giving. It renews us. It builds us up. He builds us up. Do you see then how when we praise God and our Lord Jesus Christ and remember all of his benefits, our worship draws us to align with God? One of the greatest things of praise is it helps us to align ourselves with God. But we start to see worship as that. Worship is not just what we do here Sunday morning. If it is, then we have trouble week to week, right? So what does your worship look like in your own life? See, that's what brought me to this passage, because as I was working through it, all of a sudden I said, Moose, you're getting dry. I meet with a bunch of guys. I meet two, three guys on Tuesday morning. We're going through the Psalms, and we meet here. And one day, one of the young guys said, hey, Moose, how are you doing? I said, I'm dry. And he says, well, I'll pray for you. And then we started talking. And then I read that passage about Jesus must become more beautiful in my imagination and more attractive in my heart. And I go, God, how does that happen? And of course, later that week, this was the passage that he gave us to study, one of them. And all of a sudden I says, Lord, it's about what I need to do. I need to avail myself. It's not that I can earn it. I need to avail myself to being in your presence so that I can worship you on a regular basis. I found out, here's one of my idols. You guys have one of these? What happened with this? One day I was at work and I turned it on and the turkey just went black. I mean completely black. And it has everything. I can't do any business at all. It shut down completely. Lost all my phone, didn't have my phone numbers, didn't have anything. And all of a sudden, I'm almost panicky. And I went to the store, and to the Verizon store, and the guy looked at it, and he worked on it, and he says, it's dead. This thing has totally died. He says, so when do you need it? He said, I can get you one in 3 days. And now I am, you know. And he said, but, you know, for $12, I can have it overnight. I says, here's the $12. But all of a sudden, I realized that this little turkey here had crept in. And it had taken away my time with Jesus in the morning. Because the first thing you get up, you hit this button and it comes on. And then you hit the weather to see what the weather is. And then if you're not careful, you hit the emails to see money. And by the time you get that first email, what's happened? Now I'm in work mode. And by the time I'm in work mode, what have I done any time in enjoying my Father? I haven't. The biggest blessing I had with growing up with my dad, we didn't have television. And the reason we didn't have television, my dad said if we had a television in the house, I wouldn't get any work out of you because you'd sit around watching television. So we never had one in my home. And it was good for me. But the thing is, then we got to be in a relationship. And so this showed me, and now one of the guys on Tuesday morning asked me, hey, Dan, have you turned this on before you spent time with Jesus? Literally, that's his question. And I go, I need that. Because I can't worship. And then I have to learn something else in my personal walk is I have to spend that time going through these things again. How do I praise God? How do I remember what he's doing so that I can walk with God and so I can have joy? So it affects my 10 o'clock, my 3 o'clock, my 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Folks, as we close, questions for you. Is there anyone here that's not in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? What that means is, have you come to the place where you've put your faith in God through Jesus Christ and said, I know I'm a sinner. I need a relationship with you because you're the only one that can forgive me. If you're in a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, you can answer these two questions, yes. Do you know without a doubt all your sins are forgiven? Do you have a confident assurance that you're his child? If you can say yes to those, you're on the right steps to knowing Jesus. If you say no, then I would encourage you to talk to somebody about how do I get in that relationship? The second question is, honestly, how is your walk with God? Honestly, how is your walk with God? Is it dutiful? Is it one of those terms we used earlier? Or is it enjoyable? Is it life-giving? Is it transforming? Another psalm that came to me was Psalm 130, where God says we need to quiet and still our soul and lean on him as a weaned child leans on their mother's breast. Wow. That's hard for me because I realized mine was too busy. My life's too busy. I don't quiet. And so with God's strength, it comes back to how do I rest in him so that I can draw near. The last question is, so what steps do you need to take to have Jesus become more attractive to your imagination and more beautiful to your heart? What steps do you need to take? What steps do I need to take? I'm convinced that we all want to have that enjoyable walk with Jesus. I'm convinced the world is looking for people who their love for Jesus overflows and touches every area of their life. I'm convinced if we had that type of lifestyle, that our witness would be telling them, this is what Jesus has done for us. This is what God is doing. And they would come and say, why didn't you blow up at that person? Why did you do that this way? Because of what? We're compelled by Jesus to live in him. But to do that, we have to learn to praise and remember what he's doing all the time.
for me when I'm driving. I don't usually have the radio on. I can let my imagination run, and I'm learning that I have to start let my imagination be driven by the praise of God. He alone is worthy of our praise. Let's pray. Father, you know each and every person here. You know our walk. You know where we're at. And Lord, we know that you want to just draw us nearer. You want to transform us in the likeness of Christ Jesus. You want to fill us anew with your Holy Spirit. You want to strengthen us so that we might be people pleasing to you in everything. And more than that, though, Lord, you want us to be your representatives, walking in your grace and in your strength and in your love, who our worship for you overflows and touches those around us. Father God, lead us. Lead us. Help us be people who really focus on you and worship you in spirit and truth so that our lives would be sold out to you in everything. Thank you, Father, for we ask it in Jesus' name.